Thank you for being here today. I'm going to get right to this. I was praying all weekend about today and Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to close up. We're talking about unity and love each other. And we have intentionally slowed down the verses that Paul gives us in verses 1, 2, and 3 because you can say them really quickly, but it's not just... Let's patient hope, you know, it's slowing down, thinking about it and applying it to our own lives. So Ephesians 4, 1 and 2 says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." So humility, the idea of humility is modesty or an unselfish attitude for the welfare of others. Humility is when you and I think of others before ourselves. So Philippians 2, Paul says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. This isn't like I am less and you're greater. It's not comparing. It's understanding that true humility is based upon us thinking of someone else, what's for their welfare before ours. Okay? That's what humility looks like. The second thing we looked at was gentleness or meekness, and it is strength under control. It speaks of passions under control. So you might feel something deeply. You might think something strongly. You might even react to something with great emotion. But meekness or gentleness means that you have a consideration for the other person before you respond to that person. It's that you're considering someone else before you consider yourself. Now understand, all of this cannot be done without the person of Jesus Christ working in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is one of the evidences of God's relationship with us, is that we take into consideration the feelings or the thoughts of someone else before we respond, especially in high emotional situations. The third is patience. Slow to anger or slow to have passion. In essence, patience is this. It's where you have a slowness, if you will, in avenging wrongs. That if someone does you wrong, and has anybody ever done someone wrong, or have you ever had someone do you wrong? Okay. The thought is, I'm not going to get even, I'm going to get ahead. The thought is, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. The thought is that you don't try to go after a person, even though you have the ability or the power to bring revenge upon them. This idea of patience is that you choose not to bring revenge, but you choose to deal with that in a methodical, logical, dispassionate way. So, I've done this before. Often somebody cuts in front of you on the roundabout. Your response is, I'm not going to ride on their bumper and honk all the way down the road. The idea is not, like I talked about last week, going through a fast food drive-thru, waiting 15 minutes in a fast food drive-thru, that you're not going to now get revenge by doing something to that company or doing something to someone else. Patience is very practical. It's very livable, but it's not taking revenge when you have the power to do so. Here's our last one. Bearing with one another in love. And literally this word means to hold them up. It means persevering, tolerating, bearing with, putting up with. It means starting firm and not losing courage under pressure. So love does this. Here's what love will do. Love will be humble. Love will be patient. Love will be kind. And love will put up with people. Now, I've discovered in my life, I don't have idiosyncrasies. I like me. But other people have them. And it's easy to notice your Looney Tune kind of activity. Tolerance is part of the gifts of the Spirit, patience. Now, I'm not going to get too far into this because I want to be done in just a few moments. Our society tells us what tolerance is. Tolerance looks something like this. You have to approve and agree with the life choices I make, and if you don't agree with me, you're intolerant. But that's not the biblical view of tolerance. The biblical view of tolerance is this, that I may not agree, approve, say it's okay, the choices you make, the lifestyle decisions you have, but I'm not going to end the relationship because I'm not going to define you by your idiosyncrasies or by your life choices. And there's a huge difference. One cuts the relationship off. The other one gives opportunity and space and time, especially as Paul talking to believers. He gives it space and time for God to bring change in the hearts and lives of people, because we all carry into relationships things that could bug people. I had that's two, that's right. Everybody else, you must be perfect. Now, just saying, I've been in ministry long enough where I would talk to a young couple that were, I'm doing their premarital counseling, and these cute little things that each one does, and aren't they precious? About a year later, if the relationship isn't working, now becomes a major sticking point in the relationship. What used to be cute and unique to the person now becomes they never, and I've had this literally, he doesn't put the cap on the toothpaste and it's driving me crazy. He doesn't put the toilet seat down after he uses it, and I go, and I mean, it's just like, really? In the light of eternity, these are the big ones? Come on, let's be honest. In our humanness, we all have things that bug people. And when Paul is talking about tolerance, these are so very practical ways in which we can love each other. It's that we can bear with each other. We can put up with each other. We can give space for God to work in their lives, not for them to change in a way we want them to look, but in a way that he is developing them and transforming them into his image. And Paul in Colossians, it's a mirror verse to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul adds to that as well. He says, and forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. And it's important to understand the power of forgiveness, because forgiveness releases the person for God to be able to continue to grow them. And here's what I've discovered about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness keeps a person at the place of the offense or the act. It keeps them there. And we might not see them for a year, 6 months, or whatever, but when we see them, we automatically bring them back to the place of the offense. We remember them about what they said, what they did. And God could have done a tremendous work in their life during that year. But if we don't forgive them, we hold them to that offense. We hold them to that place. And we can't see God doing a great work in their life because we hold on to the offense. And so these things, the humility and patience and gentleness and bear with each other, these aren't just separate identities that we try to, okay, now I got to be patient, now I got to be humble. These are things, as God is working in our lives, they begin to flow from our lives because they are evidence of God working in our lives. Humility. Others first. Patience. Patience is where we can get revenge, but we choose not to. We give God space to work. Kindness, others thinking, and now bearing up. We tolerate some things. For your own, if you like to read, not today, but if you like to read in Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about in chapter 1 of Romans that basically society has said, you know, what is good is bad, what is wrong is right, and God shows us all the evil in our world. And then Paul says in chapter 2, he says, now for you Christians, let's be careful that we don't point fingers at them, because what you can discover is that the very points in which you are accusing them, you're doing it yourself. So it'd be something like this. Hey, Bill, do you know how much of a gossip Charlie is? I can't tell you how many times he has just shared things he shouldn't share. Like, for instance, I hate gossips. Don't you hate gossips, Bill?
We do that all the time. That person's a gossip while we're gossiping. And so Paul says this. He goes, listen, don't treat with contempt God's patience, his kindness, and his tolerance with us. Because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. That do you know God is tolerant with you? And aren't you glad? Do you know that God is patient with you? And aren't you glad? And don't you know that God is kind towards you? And aren't we glad? And it's his kindness that draws us to repentance toward him. Yes and amen. So, let's close. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to close with this thought. And then I want the privilege of blessing my family. Colossians chapter 3. Again, this is a mirror to Ephesians 4. You'll see a lot of the same words that Paul uses in Ephesians 4 here in Colossians 3. So we're going to close this out, get ready for next week. By the way, next week, since it's kind of Valentine's-y, we're going to talk about wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives. That's awesome. Liz, you better submit right now, sister. No, we're going to talk about the practicality of that again because it's all based on love. Well, I don't have time. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I have read this verse many, many times and wondered, what does it mean to set your heart and your mind on things above? What does that mean? I think at times it has kind of meant this. I interpret it this way. If I could just spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours with God, then I am going to be so spiritual that when I'm done spending all this time with God, then my life is going to be like an aura. I'm going to be like Moses where the glory cloud is going to come on my face and people are going to say, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? And I'm going to be so spiritual, it's going to scare people. But I don't have hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to spend with God. It'd be great to be a monk. It'd be great to go somewhere, some place of solitude, away from people. But I have discovered that when Paul's writing Colossians chapter 3, and I want to present this to you for your thinking, this is a very practical application for all of us. This is not for the super spiritual who can spend hours and hours and hours every week just communing with God. This is a very practical verse on how do we live with an affections and a mindset in heavenly places. And he shows us right here. He tells us what it looks like. It's so clearly laid out in my mind that when Paul says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, that Paul begins from the next verses, starting at verse 5, he begins to show what earthly things look like. James chapter 3 confirms it. In James chapter 3, verse 17, Darren, do you have that real quick? James chapter 3. Did you get a chance to get that in? Verse 17. James says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, set your mind and your heart on heavenly things. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. He goes on to say, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That Paul, when he says, set your mind on things above, set your affections on things above, not on earthly things, he begins now, the rest of the chapter, contrasts what does it mean to have a heavenly and a heart mindset, and what does it mean to have an earthly heart or mindset. And in verses 5 through 10, Paul begins to share about things like this, put away with, or you got to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Here's what earthly way of thinking looks like. It looks like this: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So what he is beginning to say is that you and I have the earthly mindset. You can basically break it down to two words: selfish ambition or self-centeredness. That the earthly mindset, and James affirms it, that what the selfish mindset and the earthly mindset is, it's about me. What sexual immorality is, when you really break it down, is that you want something from someone that costs you nothing. That you're using a person for your own selfish desires. You don't love them. You don't think of them. It's not about others. It's not about how can I love you. And everything that Paul goes from 5 to 10 basically deals with the earthly nature is selfish, self-centeredness. What can I get out of it? It's all about me. And dear ones, how practical this is, that the earthly nature and the sinful nature are something that becomes self-centered and self-absorbed, that in our relationships, Paul says, let your mind and let your heart be on things above. Now in verse 12, he begins to share how to have a mindset that is above, how to have a heavenly mindset. And here's what it looks like. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. There's that word. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So when Paul says to have a heavenly attitude and a heavenly affections, he's not talking about this super spiritual person who cannot relate to human beings. He is saying a person with a heavenly mindset and a person with heavenly affections is going to love people well. This is where heavenly mindset and this is where heavenly affection lives. It's in our relationships. It's not about how many hours I can spend with God so that I can finally achieve this spiritual nirvana and I'm no longer having to deal with anything wrong and I don't want to be tainted by life's sin. No, Jesus loved, he gave, he came, he shared his life with people. And his prayer life was not so that he can just get away from folks. His prayer life was so that he can be with his Father, so that when he engaged in the world, real world, he engaged it in love. You are, our relationships is determined. This is how we live with a heavenly mindset and a heavenly affection, by the way in which we treat others. So Jesus's prayer in Matthew chapter 6, how many knows the prayer when Jesus says, pray this way, our, which art in, hallowed be your name. What are the first two words? Our. Say it again. Our. It's relationship. If he's our father, then we are brothers and sisters. If we've got the same dad, then we are all family here. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are my family. And you might, and I might have idiosyncrasies that bug us, but that doesn't mean we define the relationship through those. We define the relationship through our Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is more than just a prayer of declaration. This is a way of living. This is how we live. What is it going on in heaven? Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, I'm coming back to you, that the glory I had before the beginning, I'm going back to that. Jesus left heaven, became a servant, and he left his Father's relationship, the Trinity. There's a separation. And when he died, he was going back to the Father, where he is now in great relationship with his Father. Nothing of earth is separating him and his Father. Dear ones, on earth as it is in heaven, what's going on in heaven? Perfect love, perfect unity, perfect relationships. And Jesus came that we might live out on earth as it is in heaven in very practical ways. And I believe we can pray over a city. I believe we can pray over, we can pray, God, let your kingdom come, your will be done. That's great. But what does that really look like? In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, we see it. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that all the believers had everything in common. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And whenever there was a need, no one had a need because somebody in the family said, hey, I got some property. I'll sell that property here. That'll buy you some food. Wouldn't that be amazing if the church did that? Wouldn't that be amazing? And what we find out in the early church was that because of the unity and the love they have for each other, the Bible says, and the Lord added daily those who are being saved. And the Bible says that miracles and God was and healings were happening. In Acts chapter 4, they had one heart, one mind, one love, and God was doing extraordinary things. And it says that in Acts chapter 4 that God began to multiply the disciples quickly. There seems to be cause and effect. The cause and the effect, the cause was that the church was living, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth. They were living in love and harmony together. And God says, in that kind of environment, we're going to bring all these new converts in. We're going to bring all these people in because these people are going to know the love of the Father. And even many priests came to the Lord. Even religious folk got saved. And this is what I believe Paul's talking. Set your heart and your mind on things above. This isn't just some esoterical prayer. This is very practical living. By when you and I love this way, if we when we take serious, as we take serious, and we really lean into this, we are living with a mindset and a heart that's heavenly minded. And what does it look like? Humility and gentleness and patience and kindness and bearing with each other and forgiving each other. That is what kingdom people, how kingdom people live. I try to get away with God a lot. I do. But I keep having to come back to be with people. And if my time with God, if I don't come back and I don't love that way, there's something wrong with my time with God. Because this is supposed to be here, like a hose you turn on. The water flows through our life. His love flows through our lives. And when we love each other, God gets the hug. When we speak kind words to each other, God gets the blessing. When we love each other, God's going, those are my kids. Look at them. Look at them love each other. You know what? By this, all people will know they're my disciples because they love each other. That's the command, John 13. So we started with the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And here's what he says. Father, let them be one as we are one, that the world will know that you sent me. And Father, let them be one as we are one, so that the world may literally see that you love us the same way you love the Son. So guys, when we love each other according to Scripture, according to how the Word shows us humility and patience and kindness and gentleness, forgiving each other, bearing with each other. When we love each other that way, in very practical ways, the world gets to see Jesus. And when we love each other that way, that's a heavenly mindset that doesn't come from our earthly nature. That is putting our affections on things above because we are loving the way He loves, and it's so very practical. And what this does, we see throughout history and we see throughout Scripture, the transformational power of God is made manifest through us. Come, I say yes and amen to that. So where do you start? My first call is my wife. I see her the most. I've got kids. I've got grandkids. I've got friends. I've got Pastor Jeff as my friend. I've got you all. See, it's where I start with is the relationships we already are in. Husbands, and we'll talk about this next week, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If you are married, the first person who should get the expression of your relationship with God is your wife. It should be Ephesians chapter 5, parents, do not exasperate your children. It should be toward our kids. The transformational power of God should start with the relationships you already have. You don't have to go looking for them. God has already put you in relationship. It could be a neighbor, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be somebody else in this church. But whoever God puts into your life, the evidence of a heavenly minded, heavenly attitude, and heavenly affections is going to be with each other. And that's why you can't be a critical, bitter, angry Christian. You just can't be that way. You need Jesus. We're going to pray. And I asked Deanna and the team to bring the kids in because we're going to bless them today. We're going to bless them. Aren't they beautiful? Okay, who's getting the wave? Who's getting the wave? I got a wave. Who's got, oh, hi. Now, this is like if you're ever on a float in a parade, this is the wave, kind of like elbow lead. Let the elbow lead. There you go, AJ. There you go. I like the shoulder move, too. That's pretty cool. Yeah, there you go. Attaboy. Attaboy. So a couple weeks ago, I was thinking and praying, and two thoughts came to my heart. One was Romans chapter 1, and one was Acts chapter 3. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says to a church, people he had never met before. He had never seen them. He just wrote them a letter. And one of the things he said, he goes, I long to impart to you a spiritual gift. Commentators have different things. That could be teaching. But I personally think that Paul wanted to pray for those that he had never met. He loved them so much, he wanted a chance to pray for them. The disciples in Acts chapter, I think it's 13, the disciples, there were 10 disciples in Ephesus who had not received the baptism, they had never heard the baptism of Jesus, and he prayed for them, and they all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Also in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to the gate, beautiful, and there's a beggar, and he wanted money, and Peter goes, I don't have money, but I am going to give you what I have. And in that case, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. The Father has done and is doing a transformational work in my life. I am so grateful for. I feel like I've been born again. I really do. I'm so glad I get to live this with you, my family. But one of the things that I felt impressed in my heart is, from those verses, I want a chance just to join hands with you and say, what I have, I want to bless you with. And I showed you last week my fingernails. Some of you might think, well, what's that? It's fingernails. This is the first time in 53 years I've had fingernails because I would bite them out of anxiety and worry and fear. I would just bite them and I would just, find, you know, my wife would slap my hand. But when we were dating, she'd say, stop that. Okay. And I'd switch hands so she can only hit the one that could reach. But for my whole life, it was not a habit. It was this anxiety that I would carry. This what if's going to happen. And now the Father, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And when I look at my fingernails, in fact, I filed them last night. I'm learning how to take care of my nails. It's really weird. My wife bought me a nail kit. It's like, I'm becoming metrosexual. It's awesome. But anyways, every time I look at these nails, it reminds me it's a physical expression of an internal work that God's doing in my life. And I want to bless you. And I just want to pray for you. I want to say what the Father's done in me, let it be multiplied in you. Because I can guarantee you, all of us struggle with some form of fear. Right? But His perfect love casts out all fear. Can you say yes and amen with me on that? And that might be today when I release, that might be something where you need healing. We're just going to let the Father determine what it looks like. We're going to let His love determine what it is. It might be you need comfort. We're just going to let Him determine that. All I want to do is pray for you and release the goodness of God in your life. And we're going to start with our kids. So come on, line them up. Come on, guys. Come over here. Come and see Habita. Okay, this is not going to be weird. Okay, you're not going to have to do weird stuff unless you want to. And because you're kids, it's all cool. And then what we're going to do, and Marcia, would you, Marcia, is she here still? Marcia, and then we're going to pray for you last. Okay? I want you just to play some music, maybe that I believe in you, I believe that thing. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to take a section at a time, and we're just going to bless. And we'll go here, 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 and we're going to take the next 15 minutes, and I just want to bless you. And I just want to release grace on your life.